just have this great sense of joy in me. But just some of y'all have heard the story before, but as Pastor Steve was saying, I was very on the edge one time, and I was this close. No, let me put it this way. I was this close. Do you see anything, any crevice in between that?
Yeah.
Nope, there's no crevice because I was this close. I told my wife, I said, I'm submitting a letter of resignation to the leaders of Victoria's Word, and I'm gonna give them a month to find another pastor. I'm leaving. I said, I'll turn everything over to them. I'll do all whatever paperwork's necessary. I was gonna turn the van registration over to somebody else. I was gone. I was finished. Done. As I was talking to Taco about that, we were sitting in the living room and I was telling her I'm done. And she said, but honey, aren't you disobeying God? And I knew I was, but I was frustrated. And I knew I was, but I said, honey, God will forgive me, but I'm through. And just as I said that, this cell phone rang. This one. Yes, y'all, this one. And Bishop Nelson was on the other end. He says, and I didn't even hardly know, me and him, I think I met him like maybe 3 or 4 times around that time, and we wasn't really as close like that, like we are now. I mean, we just met a couple of times at different church functions. But I had given him my number and everything, and so he just called me. He said, Pastor Troy. He says, this is Bishop Nelson. Oh, Bishop, how you doing? He says, great. How's it going? I said, I didn't know him that well, so I didn't want to tell him none of my business. I said, oh, Bishop, it's going fine. He says, oh, that's wonderful, Pastor Troy. The Lord told me you're about to quit, ain't you? I said, how'd you know that? He said, the Lord told me. He said, the Lord told me you better call that man right now because he's about to quit. He said, you tell him, I said, he better stick it out and stay in there because I have a work for him to do. Praise God. And he said a few more other things and gave me some advice and stuff like that. After that, I said, honey, I'm not quitting. I said, man, if God, you got to be a real stubborn ox for God to do something like that and then still say, I'm going to quit. Praise God. So here we are. We are going to stick this thing out. How many of y'all going to stick it out?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to stick this thing out, and we're going to see the manifestation of God's glory. Hallelujah. But one of the ways we're going to see this is through miracles. Say this with me. Say, miracles,
miracles
are for today. Father God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful group of people that you have blessed me to pastor. And Lord, I ask that your word goes forth with power and anointing as I give them your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got 2 more lessons in this series on miracles up for today. And I'll probably ask Pastor Steve and Pastor Mary to give us a couple of dissertations. And then we'll move on to another series of lessons that the Lord has given to me to give to you. But this series is based on my book by the same title, Miracles Are For Today. And just to let y'all know, we have sold 5 of these books this month, praise God, online. We have sold 5 of these books. No, I'm sorry. We have sold 6 of these books online this month, for the month of July, praise God.
Amen.
We have sold 11 of the Divine Healing Guaranteed books. And we got one review on finally got a review on Amazon.com for that book. Somebody said, I just love this book. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That means God is working through some of these books. We have sold quite a number of books this month, but the most we've sold is this one and the book on healing. People are hungry for miracles. Glory to God. People are hungry for the power of God. I was just talking to Sister Taco yesterday, and we, talking about how strongly Catholic Rhode Island is. And, I read an article,
online, about three, four weeks ago, and it was talking about the decline in church membership in Rhode Island. So you know, we're not the only ones suffering, y'all. Praise God. But it was talking about how horrible church attendance is in Rhode Island, and some of the people and most of the people were attributing that to the fact that Rhode Island is so strongly Roman Catholic. And we were talking about a certain radio station, I'm not going to mention the name of it, that did not necessarily talk about some of the things that we talked about. The preachers and stuff they usually have on that radio station pretty much only gave us intellectual Christianity. And I said, whether you know it or not, I told my wife, whether we know it or not, that's part of the problem. When evangelical Christians don't share the power of God and try to present people with intellectual Christianity, they're not going to receive it. Yes. Because they could care less about how well you can expound upon and exegete and hermeneutize the Bible, praise God. Amen. They could care less about your great expository skills in breaking down the Hebrew and the Greek and all of the nuances in between. People don't care about none of that stuff. They want to know, is God real? Mm-hmm. They want to know, can God help me? I am having some issues. Mm-hmm. And if your God can't do nothing for me, then I will go back to my rosary beads and my Hail Marys. Praise God.
Yes.
Your intellectualism, your breaking down the Bible and amazing me with your astounding ability to explain what this scripture means is nothing to me when I'm having issues, praise God.
Yeah.
When I can't get my rent paid, when I can't get my bills paid, when my daughter is sick and in the hospital, when my son has been hit by a drunk driver, when my son is the drunk driver, when I got kids on drugs and I need them to be delivered. Your intellectual hypothesizing or expounding upon scripture will not help me at all. So God's people have to know that God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if we're going to pray, if we're going to spend time in prayer, we've been praying, for example, we've been praying for Lisa. You know, we've been doing our prayer, taking turns and doing our times of prayer and stuff, and we're believing God for complete healing for this child. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So amen. We are expecting a miracle when we pray.
Amen.
Now, some of the radio stations, particularly in Rhode Island, at least the one that thank God we got more than one Christian radio station now, but the one single one that we had, many of the preachers on those radio stations would tell you, well, God is not in the miracle working business today. That's why he gave us doctors. You know, doctors and some of the poisons they put in our bodies sometimes,
yes,
that's supposed to heal us, don't always work. Thank God for doctors now, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, please don't get me wrong when I say this. I thank God for doctors. Doctors have been a blessing to me. And as some of the preachers I heard say, doctors are in the business of fighting the same thing we are in the business of fighting, praise God. You know, doctors hate sickness and disease, and so should Christians. Sadly enough, there are some Christians out there who will tell you, I was telling my wife about a certain preacher yesterday who's written a number of books and articles online, and one of his articles online is, don't waste your cancer. Don't waste your cancer, y'all. What he means is God has given you that cancer for a specific mysterious purpose, and you should not waste it, but find out what it is that will glorify, how you will be able to glorify God through that cancer. Because all things happen for a reason, all things happen for a purpose, and God is in control. The sovereign God. God is sovereign, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God he is, because thank God that he is the ruler of the universe. But God doesn't go around passing out sickness and disease. He is in the business of fighting against sickness and disease. Praise God.
Amen.
He is in the business of fighting against the devil's work. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good. Say good.
Good.
And what was the good he did? He healed all those that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus went about doing good. Now, where in Jesus, now remember, I want y'all to keep this in mind. God is just like Jesus, praise God. Jesus is just like God, praise God. The Father and Jesus are no different. So when you read through the Gospels, can somebody point to me at any one time where Jesus gave anybody cancer? Where Jesus, okay, well, maybe cancer wasn't known back then. Maybe that's a common modern day thing. Back then, people were lepers. Thank you, Pastor Steve. So can somebody tell me, was there any one time where Jesus gave somebody leprosy? He healed, praise God. Well, somebody might say, well, Pastor Troy, in the Old Testament, God gave people leprosy. That's because you don't know how to interpret the Old Testament scriptures, praise God. Many times God allowed certain things because and because we didn't have the full revelation of God's character, God, the Word of God is progressive, and the Hebrews understood things a little differently than we do now. God allowed people to reap the consequences of their sins sometimes much quicker than they did, than they do now, praise God. But the thing is that God is not in the sickness giving business. And let's put it, and let's even state this. Even if God was the one who did that, who gave them leprosy, it was not for a blessing. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the Old Testament does God say, hey, here's some leprosy. Go out and show everybody for my glory. Show them how much I love you. Here, here's a little bit of warts on top of that. Oh, God never did that. God, if there anybody who ever suffered sickness in the Old Testament, they suffered it due to a punishment most 98% of the time, praise God.
Amen.
Usually it was due to some punishment. And when you read the Old Testament, whenever that person repented, God would heal them, praise God.
Amen.
There was a king who went in and tried to do what the Levitical priest was supposed to do by burning the incense. And the Levitical priest told him don't do that. You can't do that. Only the priest supposed to do it. The king, thinking he's so big and bad, he tried to do it anyway, and his hand became leprous. But then he told the priest, please pray for me, that God would heal me. The priest prayed, and immediately God healed him, praise God.
Amen.
What a good God. Even in the Old Testament, we see how merciful, how wonderful, and how great our God is. But the thing I want you to understand today is that miracles are primarily to engage in spiritual warfare against the devil. See, if God withdrew miracles, as some of our theologians are trying to teach us, and like I told y'all a few weeks ago, there are people who even have conferences. One guy is now having a conference, and it's a sold-out conference of people, where the whole conference is centered on the fact that God no longer works miracles today. Or that those of us who teach miracles, or as somebody accused me once on Facebook of selling miracles, I deleted his comment and banned him from our Facebook page because I said I'm not going to be arguing with people on Facebook, praise God. That place is not for debate, it's for just giving information for our church. But I banned the person, but because one of the things they did was accuse me of selling miracles. I ain't selling miracles. I don't have any miracles to sell. God is the one who does the miracle work, and praise God.
Amen.
It, I am nothing but his vessel, and I don't charge nobody no money for man, I'm not gonna go to hell for charging people money for miracles. That's crazy. Man, I value my soul too much. I don't know about you.
So no, I'm not selling miracles. But these people are having conferences to tell you that God does not do these things today that are in the charismatic movement, and that we are in error, and that those of us who teach y'all these things are propagating lies and was trying to sell y'all miracles. I ain't trying to sell you nothing. I'm trying to teach you Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the thing is that without miracles, we have no ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God.
Amen.
You see, the devil, he don't care about your great exegetical skills in expounding upon scripture. The devil doesn't care about that degree sitting up on your wall. He doesn't go to your house and say, ooh, he has a master's degree in theology. Ooh, I better not touch him. No, the devil could care less about your degree. He don't care about your doctrines. He don't care what kind of house you own. He is not impressed with your car. Praise God.
Amen.
The devil does not care. He hates your guts, and he's looking to destroy you. And if you can't counter satanic power with the power of God, then you are in trouble.
Amen.
You're in big trouble. You see, I was just reading the other day, we were watching, my wife has tried to forbid me from watching the ID channel, but sometimes I just can't help myself, because I just love watching people solving crimes. I don't know why I like to see crime solving. I just like it, though. And so we were watching one episode of the ID channel where this woman was, she practiced a lot of voodoo, and she used to scare her husbands. She killed three of her husbands, but she was she finally got caught with trying to kill the fourth one. But her family was so scared of her because she had this black magic power. And I'm looking at this, I'm saying, man, it's so sad that these folks don't know Jesus. Because that wouldn't scare me. You can't scare me with no black magic. Do I believe that it happens? Yeah, because Satan lends his power to people. But you can't scare me with voodoo. You can't scare me with curses. You can't scare me with any of that garbage, because I know the one who has more power than the devil, praise God.
Amen.
And he makes his miracles available to me. I walked in houses that were, there was demons there. Where, you know, my wife remembers one incident where we was in a house where the demon was walking all over the place, and the woman kept, she was so scared, he's over there, he's over there. Yeah. And I would look, see, now before, when I was in the presence of a demon, I was, at least the first time when I was first a Christian, and this woman came, they brought this woman in, they was trying to cast the devil out of her, the lady told her, you come out of here in Jesus' name. And the devil said, no. I mean, this woman, just like on the Exorcist, speaking with this deep voice. I looked, I said, and the devil, Trisha was just a little baby back then. I told Taco, I said, get this baby out here. And I started looking for the door. I'm telling you, I was scared. Because I did not know the power of God.
Amen.
When I came to know these truths that I'm trying to teach you, no more fear ran through me, praise God.
Amen.
I remember one time he was in a church, and he was just playing the piano. This was while we were having our half-night prayer service. And all of a sudden, bam, he's just rolling on the floor. And I mean, he's just spazzing out. And so me and Bishop Wayne runs over to him. And so I said, what's going on? They're coming for me. They're coming for me. I said, who's coming for you? Three. They're on horses. They're coming. They're coming to get me. And so I put my hands on his head, and I said, you evil spirits, I command you to leave them alone in the name of Jesus. You loose him and let him go. Get off of him right now.
Amen.
I told him, I have authority over you, and you can't touch this man in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he said, he looked up and he said, they're gone. They're gone. And he got up and he's all happy now. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, the demons, the devil, they have nothing on you. You are a child of God.
Amen.
But you have got to believe that God is a miracle working God. You've got to believe that when the devil tries to put sickness on you, that your God works miracles to heal you. Praise God.
Amen.
You've got to believe that when the devil tries to steal your job from you, that God will either restore that job or get you a better one. Praise
Amen.
God. When you've got to believe when the landlord tells you he's going to throw you out of that house for one reason or another, that either God's going to change that situation or he's going to provide you with a better home. Praise God.
Amen.
I'll tell you one time when me and my wife, I was talking about this a little earlier, when me and my wife was living in one house that we had struggled to believe God for, and then the landlord told us that we ain't going to be able to stay there too much longer, and we were frantically looking for a house. Make a long story short, God provided us with a better one. Praise God.
Amen.
Better than we had before. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is a miracle working God. He does miracles today. I've seen him do it. And I just can't deny it no more. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me let you look at some scripture so we can establish this in the Word of God. I guess this particular portion of our message is going to have to go past this 1 week. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. That is in your New Testament. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have gone to Timothy, you have gone too far. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, begin at verse 8. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. Let me give y'all a moment to find it, but I'm also going to try to put it up on the PowerPoint, because I do believe I have it. All right, there we go. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, begin at verse 8, and it says, and this is talking about the devil and talking about the end times. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, that shows you that God is more powerful than the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Say lying wonders.
Lying.
See, Satan works lying wonders. God works signs and wonders. Satan works lying wonders. And I had a friend of mine who's pastoring a church down in North Carolina right now, great man of God. But I remember him telling me a story one time about how before he got saved, you know, his daughter had this rash on her arm, just a horrible rash. So he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know anything about the healing power of God. So he took her to one of them roots doctors. You know, down south, he got them roots doctors, witch doctors. And the roots doctor took one of them, did an incantation or something like that. I don't know what he did, but took something, waved it over her arm, the rash was gone. Well, you know, I guess you can be happy about that. But then after that, he said that it was no longer, no sooner after that, she started lying just for no good reason at all. something she never did before. She would just lie? You ask her something, and she would just lie about it. He said it never happened before. And so, thankfully, not too long after that, they gave their lives to Jesus Christ, became Christians, and they realized what, and they were taught the word, and they realized what happened. They cast that evil spirit out of her. Praise God.
Amen.
See, Satan will give you lying signs and wonders. See, Satan may work a miracle, but he always wants a pound of your flesh in exchange. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God, he gives you his miracles for free. Don't ask you for nothing in return. Now, if you're smart, when he works a miracle for you, you will dedicate your life to him, praise God. Amen. Which is what I did. I told God, I said, God, when I was in a very impossible situation, didn't know what I was going to do, and was lost in the sauce, I said, God, if you will work this situation out for me, I will commit myself to you. God said, aha, got it now. And he started working the situation out for me. Worked miracle after miracle after miracle. Man, after that, I said, man, this Sunday, I'm going to church and give my life to Christ. I could have gave my life to Christ right then, but, I mean, you know, we got to have a little bit more fun before we could. No, I'm just kidding about that part. I made up my mind after that I was going to try not to sin no more. I gave my life to Christ. But praise God. But God works wonderful miracles, and he doesn't ask for a pound of your flesh in return. He gives you a pound of his flesh, Jesus' flesh, praise God.
Amen.
And so Satan works lying, signs, and wonders. And when you read verse 10, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Praise God.
Amen.
See, people, Satan works lying, signs, and wonders in order to damn people, to ensure they go to hell, in order to deceive people, in order to pull the wool over their eyes. I remember reading Mary Kay Baxter's book, A Divine Revelation of Hell. And there was one witch who went to hell, and she said she went down there and Satan had met her. And she told Satan, she said, wait a minute, you promised me that when I come down here, you would give me a high position in hell. He said, okay, I'll take care of that. And sent her to one of the worst parts of hell. High position. See, Satan will lie to people and make them believe that he's on your side. And make you believe that God hates you, God doesn't care anything about you. Satan will work miracles in order to deceive you. Well, with all the deception of the devil in this world, and I'm almost out of time. We're gonna get ready to close out soon. I guess I'm gonna have to carry this part until next week. But with all the deception, Satan's purpose is to destroy you. Now, when you read down here where it says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, God is allowing people to have what they want. Praise God.
Amen.
See, God restraining Satan. But more and more, you see that people are falling into deception, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, 20 years ago, this gay marriage, gay rights stuff was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Now look how much it has prevailed. And people are so deceived. Even sitting there with somebody like Bishop Desmond Tutu, sitting up there talking about, well, you know, I don't want to go to a heaven. I'd rather go to hell than to go to a heaven where God is a homophobe.
Homophobia.
Yeah.
Yes.
First of all, the word homophobe means fear of homosexuality. God has no fear of homo, praise God.
Wow.
He has no fear of
yes.
He simply will not allow anything that will hurt or destroy into his heaven.
Yes.
You see, if he allowed practicing homosexuals into heaven, then heaven will become hell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
If that happens, then why not just allow everybody who's sexually immoral
mm-hmm.
into heaven?
Yeah.
Why not just allow robbers and thieves and, you know, right. honorable thieves, you know, not the ones that are really bad. Why not just allow people that kill for money? Why not? Heaven becomes a hell then. See, people are so deceived, and these are supposed to be men of the cloth telling you these things. I was just telling y'all earlier, I used to have such an admiration for Bishop Tutu because of all he went through back in the 80s when he fought against apartheid and fought for civil rights in South Africa. And I thought of him at that time as a wonderful person who had a lot of esteem in my eyes. But now, I have no respect for him. Because his comments are going to lead a lot of people into hell. Mm-hmm. And Satan is behind it, not God. Satan. God is not a homophobe. God loves homosexuals, but he can't allow you practicing that and into his heaven. Just like he couldn't allow me as a practicing fornicator or adulterer to go into heaven, praise God.
Amen.
I had to first repent of my of those practices. I had to repent of my lying, because the Bible says that no liars will come in.
Amen.
No liars, the sexually immoral, they're not going to make it in. I had to repent of those things so that I can get in, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm going to preach to you so you can get in, praise
Amen.
God. If you're doing it, stop. If you need deliverance, we'll pray for you. God can overpower the devil, praise God.
Yeah.
All the sinful, I know them. I understand the pull of sin. Satan will entice you with lies. Oh, this will make you feel good. It's true. But after you've felt good, then Satan will destroy you. Because sometimes that feel good, you become addicted to it. You become addicted to that feel good. And you want to feel good all the time with that. I tell you, I'd rather have the joy of the Lord that I'm having right now. That to me is the best thing I can have. I'd rather have that than to be drunk. I think I've only been drunk once in my life, and thank God I can't even remember much of it. It's all this lady's fault. I know she's saved. I'm telling y'all. Y'all don't know her like I knew her. I can tell you God's a miracle worker by just looking at my wife. I'm telling you. Almost 30 years, and she's been living for the Lord for almost 30 years now. I knew how she was. She was an atheist. I mean, even before I was saved, at least I believed that God existed. At least I believed that Jesus Christ was Savior. I just wouldn't accept him. I knew he was real, I just wouldn't do it. But this one, she just wouldn't believe in nothing, none of it. I took her to church with me one time. We sat in the back like most sinners do. And I had to tell her, don't you laugh. Because I took her to one of them Pentecostal churches where they was like, I love them kind of churches. I still love them. But, and the preachers get up and bang! She had to suppress laughing so many times. Don't you laugh. I'm telling you, I know God's a miracle working God because God saved this woman. But I tell you, the joy of the Lord is better than anything the devil can offer me.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Oh, we got more on this to talk about. God is good. He's an awesome God, I'm telling you. Man, I cannot not serve him. It's just inconceivable to me now to not serve this wonderful, wonderful God. The more I've got to know him, the more I've come to love him, the more that I want to serve him no matter what.
So
I don't know about you, but stick with this God. Stick with him because he loves you.
Hallelujah.
And he loves me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear your word. To learn, Father God, that you are still a miracle working God. You are the God of wonders beyond this galaxy. Oh, I thank you. Lord, we come back to the heart of worship where it's all about you, Lord Jesus. You, the miracle working God, the one who desires to win souls to you, the one who desires to win this Catholic region and bring them into an evangelical, charismatic understanding of your truth.
Amen.
Father God, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands up. If you have a need in your life, if there's anything you're going through, just begin to talk to God, begin to tell him that you need a miracle in your life. If you already talked to him and you asked for that thing, then you begin to thank him right now. Begin to say, Father, I thank you.
Thank you,
thank you because you already heard my prayer. Thank you because I know that you are a God who works miracles. I am expecting a miracle in the name of Jesus. I'm expecting your supernatural intervention in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you're having issues with a job, you begin to believe God for his supernatural intervention. Believe him for his supernatural favor upon you as you apply, as you put in your resumes, as you put in your job applications. Believe God for a supernatural intervention on you. If you have any sickness in your body, believe God for supernatural intervention to heal you in the name of Jesus. Praise God. The things that the drug, that the medicine couldn't do, believe that God can do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got family members that are straying. Believe God to turn them around. Believe God to bring them back home. Praise God.
Amen.
It may look impossible, but God he thrives on impossible situations. That's where he gets the most glory from. Oh, hallelujah, Father God, I thank you. Oh, God of miracles. Satan, I command you, get your hands off of each situation in the name of Jesus. I have authority over you. God's power is greater than yours. God's power overcomes your power. Hallelujah.
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 Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, just lift your hands up and thank him for his mercy.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
And we're about to leave this place.
Thank you.
But not from this presence. Father, we thank you. We love you so much. Oh, you're so kind to us. May the grace of our Lord shine upon you. May his face shine upon you always as you leave this place, but never from his presence. May his presence, may his manifested presence overwhelm you with and fill you with joy. Listen, don't resist it. If you start feeling a laugh, if you're walking down the street and you feel like you want to laugh, just start laughing. Forget about those people around you. You just start laughing. They might say, well, you're crazy. I don't care. People think I'm crazy anyway. Might as well give them something to think about. Oh, Father God, thank you. Father God, protect your people on the road. Give them Psalm 91 protection, the angel of the Lord, and keep guard over them. Keep them off from all hurt, harm, and accidents. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. I love you guys so much. Y'all my favorite people.